Okay, Rabbi Zell, we're going to just do a brief psiche here to Rosh Hashanah. I mean, there's a lot of this Masechet is full of many inyonim. So I'm going to talk really primarily to have some Havona in the Seder of the Masechet. Because the Seder of the Masechet is very interesting. Very interesting. On several fronts. Number one, Masechet is called Masechet Rosh Hashanah, right? It's not called Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It's called Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Even though it starts off, Habo Rosh Hashanah Heim, it's not called Rosh Hashanah, it's called Rosh Hashanah. Why is it called Masechet Rosh Hashanah? So already, the Sfasei Chachamim and many other Meforshim say that because the Iker is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Iker. The Masechet is bigger about Rosh Hashanah. To the point that some say, that's why there's a Masechet. If not for that, this Mishnah could have been someplace else, telling you, could have been one little Mishnah, and Tainus, and finished. The Masechet is Rosh Hashanah. That's really what it is. Okay, so, if the Masechet is Rosh Hashanah, number one, the Mishnah starts Abba Rosh Hashanah Mehem. So tell us, Pecha Petishke Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah. This is what it's all about. This is what the Masechet is about. Masechet is about Rosh Hashanah. That's the whole point of Masechet. Taka, as you progress in the Masechet, you really, it becomes very, very clear. We'll get into a couple of blot in the first perek. Even then we're going to have Rosh Hashanah popping in here and there. And then it's going to start going straight Rosh Hashanah dik. Rosh Hashanah, Kiddush HaChodesh, Vayitu Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. The last parak of the Gansa parak is Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So why didn't it start Rosh Hashanah? Pecha Petishkei Rosh Hashanah. And Taka Reyes this kash. The Bichas Yitzchok in Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yankov Meskin and the Zichron Yankov, both of them wrote nice svarim from the Achronim, wrote nice svarim on Rosh Hashanah. They both ask this kasha. They both say, what's the pshat? Why is the Masechet start Echad B'Tishrei? Then they ask a different question. Also a shtaka kasha. Forget not only that. The Masechet should start with Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. That's what it should start with. Actually, it should start with Rosh Hashanah. It's almost like, if you look at the Masechet, it's almost like a v'nahapuchu. It goes into the Zaitik of the Zachen, the side issues. It's all Shiloh, what these Abba Rosh Hashanah even are. When I say what they are, I don't mean what they're relevant to that the Gemara talks about. That the Gemara deals with. Some of them are obvious in the Mishnah. Maisa Behem is obvious. Some of them are not so obvious. Le'ilon, Le'natiyas, it's not so posh what it means. So, But there's a different question. Is our Rosh Hashanah, is it something in the Yom? It's like a Yom Tif. There's a Gaon in Hilchos Tachna, in Or HaChaim. And the Gaon says that each one of these Rosh Hashanahs is a Yom Tif. It's a Yom Tif. Some level Yom Tif. The idea that you don't say Tachna is not because of the issues that are relevant, meaning Tu B'Shvat. You don't say Tachna. It's not because... Tubishvayiv is a tachman because it's negeya to the tree, because the tree has a birthday. It's a yomtiv. To some level, it's a yomtiv. That's also tzarachin. Echtes is a yomtiv. Why should it be a yomtiv? What makes it a yomtiv? And Tubishvayiv, see, it's most relevant to Tubishvayiv. Because Rosh Hashanah is not a big deal. It's a yomtiv because it's Rosh Hashanah. So it's a memela yomtiv. And all the other Rosh Hashanim are also Rosh Chodashim. So they're also Memela Yom Tov. Right? But Tu B'Shvat, L'Kidivrei Beisil, the way we paskin, is not Rosh Chodesh. So that's why the Goyen jumps by Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is where this discussion opens up with some relevance. Till we get to Tu B'Shvat, Shoyin, it's a Yom Tov because it's Rosh Chodesh too. Rosh Chodesh Tocha Yom Tov. The Torah writes that every Rosh Chodesh Tocha Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov. It's because of the Chet Egel, so we don't celebrate it the same way, but it's a Yom Tov. But Tu B'Shvat, is also a Yom Tov, says the Vilna Gaon. And the only thing that's a Yom Tov about Tu Bishvat is the fact that it's a Rosh Hashanah Lila. That's why it's a Yom Tov. So that's, that you also have to understand. Why is that a Yom Tov? Even if there is a day, which the Gemara will learn out from Psukim, and Beisil Shitas Mavusis on the Metzias of certain things, why is it a Yom Tov? It's a halachic technicality. That when this date comes, this is how we mark the timing of the timeline of the tree. What's it? It's a Yom Tov? As a Din Simcha? Even there's no Din Simcha? What? That's also Tzorchim. Another difficulty is that sandwiched in middle of the Masechta, before we even get to thoroughly addressing Rosh Hashanah, is Kiddush HaChodesh. It's Kiddush HaChodesh. Right? The Kiddush HaChodesh, L'chaira, is the aleph beis of everything. Because everything is based on Kiddush HaChodesh. Without Kiddush HaChodesh, there's no Chodashim. Without Chodashim, there's no Moyadim. There's no Rosh Hashanah. So Kiddush HaChodesh is. So if we started the Masechta with Rosh Hashanah, I wouldn't be asking questions. It's Masechta Rosh Hashanah. That's the main objective of this Masechta. Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So although Rosh Hashanah needs Kiddush HaChodesh to become an entity, true, and in fact, the Yerushalmi says here in Rosh Hashanah that the Malachim come to Rabbanu Shem, they say, when is Rosh Hashanah? When is the Yom Adina? Hashem tells them, you have to check with the Bezen Shomat. As I talk to Yerushalmi, it's true. So really, Rosh Hashanah also needs Kiddush HaChodesh, right? But logic dictates that if the Masechta would have started with Rosh Hashanah, it would have made sense. Because that's the tachlis of the Masechta. Fine. For some reason, Rabbeinu HaKadosh decided that that's not the way he started the Masechta. So how does he start the Masechta? He starts the Masechta fakert. With Abu Rosh Hashanah, which are not relevant. Once he's not starting with the actual theme of the Masechta, so he should start with Rosh Chodesh. Make more sense. So once you're leaving go of the Iker theme, so start with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is epis after the Abu Rosh Hashanah, and before Rosh Hashanah, like Nishtahin and Nishtahin, like part of the sandwich in the middle. Why is that? Some say Rosh Chodesh B'chlal shouldn't be a Rosh Hashanah Inyan. It should really be part of Maseches Sanhedrin. Some of the Achronim ask this question. Because L'chaira Kiddush HaChodesh is a Bezdin. It's totally in Bezdin. It's not a Yochid V'Yochid. Our Masechta primarily is a Maseches HaYochid. The Dinim HaOl Negeah, Ma'isabeim is Negeah HaYochid. Shtoris is Negeah HaYochid. Maisus is Negeah HaYochid. All the halachas of our Masechta are Negeah HaYochid. Except for Tfilas Musaf Rosh Hashanah, according to the old Tfilas Musaf and Elbech HaVagir. It's all a Yochid. So some actually question what Rosh Chodesh is doing here. But the only way to explain Rosh Chodesh is doing here is, what do you mean? You don't have Rosh Hashanah without a Kiddush HaChodesh. Who's to start with that? But for some reason it doesn't start with that either. That also needs Biyur. The Rambam here, in the Pirush HaMishnah, when the Mishnah says, Be'echad B'tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, the Rambam states, Va'omru Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, Rotzaboy L'minyan HaYitzich, Vatoyela's boy, he says, Lidias minyan ashtoris. So this bechlal is difficult, this Rambam. Because the shtoris actually, Rosh Hashanah l'shtoris, the Gemara seems to say, that Echa b'tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah l'malachay u'mefa'ilam. Be'echa b'nissen is Rosh Hashanah l'malachay Yisrael. But if you look at Rashi, what makes this more difficult is that Rashi then says, that the Rosh Hashanah l'malachim Says Rashi, Kedamrino b'meseches Gittin, they used to put the king's date into the document, Mishum Shloim Malchus, because of Shloim Malchus. So Tosis asks, Deinoi, says Tosis. Tohocho Malcha Yisrael Komairi. Here we're talking about the Jewish kings. They didn't put in the Jewish kings on Shloim Malchus. Right? They didn't put in the Jewish kings on Shloim Malchus. So what's up, Shah? What does that mean? That's what he says. So really we have difficulty in both ways. If you learn like the Rambam, that really it's Lashonim, Lashtoris, which doesn't seem to fit our Gemara, the beginning of the Masechta right here, even though later we'll see there's a Braise that supports this Rambam, that we're talking about Shtoris, that by Shtoris they put in Tishrei. There's a Braise here, let me read it to you, the Braise on your base. Tono Rabbonon. Chachma Yisrael Namabul, Moim Lamabul. Kabbalism. The Gemara says like this. So Rashi says, Mayim Mayim Afkemini, Leminyin Shnoi Sadoris. For the Minyin Shnoi Sadoris. So what's the Tana trying to say? So the Masber here, the Divrei Chafetz is Masber this. He says, what does it mean, Leminyin Adoris? Vadai bo atana lashmienu dominion hashon maschel b'tishchiv and afkeminu l'shtoris. So the different chayfets writes, mikan from here is a mokor l'pirushay shel Rambam that shtoris is mitishchiv manin. Because he's going like this b'raisa on your base. Not like our sugya by yours. And he says, Balkuponim, Toysis is asking a bomba kasha, which is that here we're saying Echa Benis and Zicha, we're not talking about Malchei Akum, we're talking about Malchei Yisrael. So why is Rashi saying Mishum Shalom Malchus? So if you look to Pnei Yeshua here on the spot, is Eimer on this, he tries to give an explanation. The Rashi is explaining the origin. Of this Shloim Malchus. He says, Shloim Malchus is because, in other words, the way the Pnei Yeshua Kedarka is a pashtun, he's giving pshat. Pnei Yeshua says, why they have to put in the kings in the Shloris altogether? Mishum Shloim Malchus. Right? But it must be that the Malchei Yisrael were there to begin with. Because if the Malchei Yisrael wouldn't have been there to begin with, then there would have been Mishum Shloim Malchus to do it for the Messiah. So Rashi is proving from the fact that they used to put the names of the kings in the Shtoris for Shloim Malchus is a riot that they did it for Jews. Must have been really for the Jews. They did it for the Malchei Yisrael. And the Melech got kiyalshent by the Messiah of Shloim Malchus. So Shloim Malchus is a riot that they were used to write the Hebrew dates too, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a requirement. Mishum Shlemach. I want to give you another idea here of how to understand what's the tachlis. But now we have to know, what's this whole tachlis? What's the tachlis? Mistama, every Gentile king had a way how they would commemorate their anniversaries. Achashverosh, Bishnas Sholosh L'molchei. They had ways that they commemorated their anniversaries. So why do we need a Meseches Rosh Hashanah to tell us how we're going to go commemorate there, how we're going to put in their names into Shtoris? It's another question. In other words, according to this, and according to the Braise, that the Malchei Umasoilim are relevant to us, how, what we put into our documents, why is that relevant Bechlal? Why is that relevant? It shouldn't be relevant. So whatever the secular king decides is his anniversary, is his anniversary. What do we need? Manishtana lono. Why do we have to make our own? Basically, what we had was a Jewish way to calculate the secular king's anniversary which obviously didn't match his own way of calculating it. So if you were looking at a secular document, they would actually write, this is the second year of the king, and you may be writing it's the third year of the king. It's muzar ma'od. It's very strange. Halach lehem, like the Gemara a lot of times says, halach lehem l'chaseya. Let them keep whatever they want. We have to have a Shulchan Aruch is not complex enough. We have to have a siman in Shulchan Aruch how we're going to decide what his anniversary is. When he has one. Every king has an anniversary. So how does he do it? So I think that perhaps to get a little bit clarity here, we could say it like this. The truth is, this whole concept of Rosh Hashanahs need clarity. Why did we break up the year to different Rosh Hashanahs? Make one Rosh Hashanah. We have to overcomplicate things. This Masechta is overcomplicating everything. Make one Rosh Hashanah, done! Rosh Hashanah for trees, Rosh Hashanah for this, Rosh Hashanah for vegetables, Rosh Hashanah for mice and behemoth, Rosh Hashanah for this. And the Goyim says, we make a whole Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov, false statement. What do you need for? Have one Rosh Hashanah. In fact, this question reaches a climax when we get to Arba Pchokim B'Shana Ho'ilam Nidoyim. The Braise, Mishnah says, Shloisha Pchokim B'Shana Ho'ilam. Right? Three times a year, four times a year, that he asks, what is going on? The Mishnah says, if you look at the Mishnah, and that's Taka what they ask, that it doesn't really work. Ba'abo pokim o'ilom nidoin. The Pesach alatfuah. Ba'atzeres ha'peres ilon. So we have Pesach on the grain, we have Shavuos on the fruit, we have Rosh Hashanah Kol Bo'ei Olam, and on the Chag and Sukkot on water. What's Hakmana Chaynik with all these Yimei Adin? Over there already the Rishonim Shtal Zechiv. Over there the Rishonim get involved. Very strange that the Maril says, you know, it's like we like four. Just like this Arba Rosh Hashanah, and this Arba Pokim Oil. It's like Arba Miyodeya, Arba Niyodeya. We want to get as many fours as we can stick in here. The pattern to the first parak. Arba, Arba. But here, the Rishonim are bothered with a bigger kash. How could it be four times a year that you're judged? Rosh Hashanah, you're judged on everything. Rosh Hashanah, you're judged on everything. Right? Everything is decided on Rosh Hashanah. So what does it mean if four times a year, Ho'elam Nidoyim? If the Baruch Hashem already paskened on us, that this is what we're getting for the year, what's Shayach Bechlal to make a separate Nidin on the Mayim? I and every single person on this planet has already gotten what they're getting from the fruit, how much fruit they're getting, how much grain they're getting. It's all decided. What's in the game? What does it mean, Nidan? Who's Nidan? The tree? Who's Nidan? How many oranges is it going to be out? What's in the game? The Abish already rationed out on Rosh Hashanah. That Blisko's getting 200 oranges this year. That's all, he's getting 200 oranges. And every guy has how many oranges he's getting. Yeah. So it's an afkamina. It's a separate Yom Adin. So that's why over there the Rishonim get involved. To try to make sense of the Mishnah. So, very, very schwer at the end how it comes out. The Ran has a fascinating pshat. The Ran learns that Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, he paskins percentages. It's a very complicated system. This is an extremely complicated system. On Rosh Hashanah, the Eibishter decides what percentage of the wealth you're getting. He do it, but the Eibishter doesn't say, okay, Doc, you're getting this much fruit. No. You're getting this percentage of the fruit that are in the world. Here. Yeah. So it's still up for grabs what you're getting. Then we have different times of the year that there's decisions made. How much of this will there be? How much of that will there be? This is a very complicated system. This is a very complicated system. Especially for the Bnei Elam. The Bnei Elam doesn't have to do it that way. $5. You know, it would make sense that if this was a Melech Basar V'dam, who has no idea what's going to happen in the world, so you can have $5. You can have a Melech who says, I want to make a distribution. Wealth distribution. Yeah? So I can't just say this much. You get a percentage of what's available. But the Eibishter, the Kol Yochel, the Kol Yedea, the Eibishter daf nishala dezach. The Banshim is, so really, like I said, by that Mishnah, when we get here, towards the end of the Perek, and to Zion, that's where it explodes, my question explodes. That's where a bomb hits it. Right when we start the Masechta, was Ba'i in Abu Rosh Hashanah. But there it becomes an explosion. And then we have to start saying epistachukim, different tirutzim, how we're going to get around this kasha. So I think perhaps we could say like this, and tie this into a yisoid. It's very late. I really have to stop, and I'm sure everybody has to stop. There's a yisoid that we discussed in Sefer Bereishis. The yisoid that we discussed in Sefer Bereishis was the famous difficult Rashi. The Rashi says in the beginning of Bereishis, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Lo yhoya ha-toyro tzchicha lehaschil el me'achidosh hazalochim. Torah should have started from achidosh hazalochim. That's what he says. Then he goes, he gives a teretz. Teretz is very difficult too. Koyach ma'isav yigid la'amoy, the goyim are going to say, we're listim, and other. The kasha is very, very difficult too. What? That's how the Torah should start? Without telling us about the Creator? Without telling us about Avraham Yitzchak Yankov? Without telling us where we come from? What? What? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Lochem, who? Who? Stop, let's try to envision it. You open up Sefer Bereishis. What's it going to say? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh. Then later we'll learn who's the Lochem. What's Tutsach Tabakla? Who's Yisrael? Sefer Bereishis tells us the birth of the Ummah. What does Rashi mean? The Teretz is also very difficult. So this already has baffled many of the Gedolei Achrayim. Some have said such an outrageous Teretz the Chidor brings down that he saw a Teretz that somebody once wrote that this whole question, the Nishkin question, the Kasha Nishkin Kasha, Teretz Nishkin Teretz, this was Rashi's father, because Rashi is Rav Shlomi Yitzchok, Rav Shlomi ben Rabbi Yitzchok. See, he started his Pirush, he brought down, I'll cover his father, he brought down Aklotz Kasha. With Aklotz Teretz. That's it. That's an easy way to get out of the problem. It's like in the acknowledgments. You know, Ili Nishmas of Imari, Pemsistical Tale. The fact is that actually, Rabbi Yitzchok was a goner. He didn't need to come onto this drosh. If Rashi wanted to put something in, he could have put in a solid Stickle Tale. In fact, Rashi Navarizor quotes his father in one of the most complicated sugis. So he didn't have to go and find that a shalashidus terah that doesn't really make sense to put in zechadishmas. He didn't have to do that. So obviously it's not. But the chidor says actually it's a medrash tanchuma. It's not Rashi's father. It's an amor. There's an amor that asked this question. And the terrors that I wanted to give which I feel is a simple pshat, is that what's the point of Sefer Bereishis? The point of Sefer Bereishis is to teach us where we come from. Right? To teach us that there's a creator, number one. To teach us the development of the Am Yisrael, where we come from. The truth is, one of the best ideas that I heard from Rav Shlomo Brevda Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I was a little kid when I heard this from him. It was a great vote, he said. He was talking, I don't know how many of you have heard of Shlomo Brevda, he had that real American Yiddish, that real Amerikanischer Yiddish. And he said, you know, I was very amused by that. I was young enough that that amused me more than anything. I was very focused on that until he came to this part of the Shmuz. Then I focused on what he said. He said, Matemet gegangen zu Chazanish. They came to Chazanish mit dem gefragt. What's the school for the next generation that they should be able to be Erlich Jews? And Chazanish told him, Maisi Gedoilim. To tell the kids the stories of the Gedoilim. And that will have an impact. So Reb Brevder said then, you can imagine today, this is, I don't know, 35 years ago when I heard this from him. But imagine what he would say. He says, Kuk viffel bicher zenin. Look at how many books we have today. Books and that. He said then, today we have books beyond that. Today we have books of Gdoilim, we have books of Ktanim, we have books of everything. We have books of everybody. And what's going on? So Reb Brevder said, we don't see the impact. We don't see it because kids are becoming Gedolim from it. Okay, you can debate that. You can say maybe the opposite. Maybe there's a lot. But so he said, "Abechgiven amol ba'amen Shabbos." In America, he came to somebody's house for Shabbos. He says he realized why the books don't work. He said in that house there was a minhag that the mother of the family reads a story from the Chofetz Chaim. They had the book of the Chofetz Chaim. And every meal, every Shabbos meal, the mother of the house reads a book. She reads one story from the book to the family. That was the minhag of the mishpach. So far, sounds great. So right away he says, "Abaven medigitan." They did it between Kiddush and Amotzi, right before the family washed. So he gave his whole thing Kiddush b'makom suda. That's not such a problem. The Guinness Vadim says we have 72 minutes for Kiddush b'makom suda. But that was his first Haggah. But then he said, listen, he says the mother read the story from the Chofetz Chaim. And it was an unbelievable story, of course, like all the stories of the Chofetz Chaim. As soon as she finished, she went, wow, what a tzaddik. What a tzaddik. Okay, let's go wash. He said, now everything got answered to him. He said, the Rambam says, Chayiv Adam Loima Mosai Agiu Maisi L'Maisi Avoisai. First, as a chiyuv to say, when are my actions going to be like my father's? When am I going to do what they did? When am I going to be able to be who they are? He says, the chazanish meant to read a story and to walk away with something, to say, okay, let's try to emulate. Let's pick on something here. Let's see what we could do. But if the conclusion of the story is, he's a tzaddik and you put another matzeva, Chofetz Chaim doesn't need matzevas, you put another matzeva on his grave, and then you go, okay, let's wash. If that's the maskana, the story's not going nowhere. The story's going into the challah. Not into the cup with a heart. That was his point. I thought the point was very well taken. Meaning the concept, whether it applied to this lady or not, I don't know who she is, could be she meant something totally different. I'm just saying what he said was so emes. That if you take a story, and the only thing you look at the story is just say, wow, the guy was amazing, now let me go on with my life. So the story is not going to do anything. The story is just a piece of history. What's the point of Rosh Chodesh? What's the point of Rosh Chodesh? So of course, it's a time frame. We have our calendar. It's a time frame. It's Rosh Chodesh. But the truth is Rosh Chodesh has a much deeper point. And that is change. Chidush. To be mechadish yourself. To change. Otherwise, you get into an endless theme. That's the reason why we have our own Rosh Chodesh. And that could be also why Rosh Chodesh don't happen by themselves. When there's a Beis Din, there's a Kiddush HaChodesh, and there's Edim. To understand that the purpose of a time frame is for change. It's for human intervention. And just the opposite, the calendar shouldn't be a solar system that just happens. The calendar has to bring in change, creativity. Comes Rav Yitzchak and he says, Gevaldik, of course you need Sefer Bereshis. But he's saying, Sefer Bereshis without Rosh Chodesh has no value. You have to be able to learn about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov and say, you know what? I'm going to make a Rosh Chodesh. I'm going to change. So when you read a story about Avraham Avinu, you go, oh, I got something to do. I got work ahead of me. Not let's wash. I got work ahead of me. The Meleloi, he never said, we don't need Sefer Bereshis. He said, there's got to be some element here in the beginning of the Sefer that tells you, chitshu, renew. Because without renewal, there's no point. There is no point. Perhaps we could say that that is the idea, b'chlal, of Rosh Hashanah. The point of Rosh Hashanah and the point of breaking up different periods of time. We know even in the secular world, people make New Year's resolutions. Okay, so of course it depends on who you are. Okay? So if you're if you're a person that's, you know, very secular and has no spiritual side, so your annual commitments are not very impressive. They represent a reflective of who you are. But everybody, no matter how down there you are, no matter how much you're part of the Oretz, everybody understands there's a new year. It's a time to make change, significant change. That's the point. And Memela, Dafke, the Rebbein Shalom created a halacha is called Rosh Hashanah. And that we don't just say, okay, this is a day that the halacha changes Lagabi Meiser. No, capture the moment and make a schatzus. Make a renewal. That's the point. What's the point of a day of judgment? What's the point of having a day of judgment? The Eibishter could do whatever he wants. The Gemara says the Adam needin b'chol yom. The Eibishter doesn't need a court. He doesn't need a system, a court system. Adam needin b'chol yom. Adam needin b'chol rega. What's the point? The point of a Rosh Hashanah is not for the Bnei Olam. The point of Rosh Hashanah is for us, for our renewal. And therefore, the Eibishter broke up renewal to the maximum, not to the minimum. And true, the Rebbein Shem could have made one day Olam Nidin. But the Eibishter didn't do that. He broke it up. He broke it up. And therefore, we don't start with Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is blurry. Rosh Hashanah, every secular person understands that there's a New Year's. So instead, the Masechta starts forcing us to think that renewal is the main point. And it starts with Rosh Hashanahs that don't even make sense. What, there's a Rosh Hashanah for the tree? What is that? It's a Rosh Hashanah l'malacha. These are times of renewal. And then, when we bring in the renewal process, we attach it to the halacha that creates renewal, and that's Rosh Chodesh. And then we lead up to the milsa de pshitasa, which is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, because of its complexity, that's why it has such a level of simplicity. Because Rosh Hashanah is such a complicated day, everybody understands Rosh Hashanah, of course. Of course, there has to be a Rosh Hashanah. You can miss the whole boat. So the Masechta starts with Rosh Hashanahs that are puzzling. With Yimei Hadin that are puzzling. Abo Pachim Oilam Nidin. What does that mean? The trees are judged. The water is judged. We sit there by the water. We're crying at Tfilas Geshem with the Nusach of Nila. I'm crying because I got to listen to the Baal Tfilah. I'm just kidding around. I'm just saying that. But the Teretz is, that's what the Eibishter is doing. The Eibishter wants us to use these, every possible opportunity we have for renewal. That's the issue. There's a lot more to say, but I'm going to stop here because the time is...